You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Heritage Radio Network. It's a little Western style today. This is Leah Eden, and as always, we are broadcasting live out of the back of Roberta's. I'm in the studio today with two lovely ladies, Valentina Rice, the founder of Many Kitchens, a new online marketplace for artisanal foods. And we also have Claire Marin of Catskill Provisions here. She's a producer of these really beautiful raw honey products from up in, this, in the Catskills, excuse me. So welcome. Welcome to the studio today.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're really excited to have both of you. And I wanted to bring you both in to talk a little bit about some of the challenges that small food businesses face today in terms of the challenge of being the size that you might be, distribution, sourcing, all sorts of really interesting things. But before we sort of dive into that conversation, I wanted to get a little bit of background on both your companies and how you work together, because it is really kind of an interesting working relationship. So I thought, Valentina, we would start with you. If you can tell us a little bit about your new venture with Many Kitchens, kind of how it came to be and what it is that you do.
In 3 seconds.
You can have four.
It was so great when I met Claire, because we had both been in publishing for 15 years when we decided to change our lives and start something completely different. So I'd spent 15 years in book publishing. But my big passion, other than books, was always food, and spent my life traveling the world for Penguin Books and finding the best of the best that the world had to offer in food. So I wanted to just do that within the States and try and find these niche little pockets of these amazing foods that were being created around the country and perhaps didn't have access to the entire country as we all can go to a market down the road, and now you can see it online. So we try and find these incredible producers and help promote them to a national audience.
Right, and so the way that the website talks about it is small batch producers. And I'm wondering, before we kind of get any further, if you could kind of give us a working definition of what that means to you in terms of what you're looking for from the people that you're working to promote. What does small batch mean?
I mean, the word artisanal is sort of overused at the moment, but what it means to me, as does small batch, is sort of the opposite of mass produced. You've got the person that you're getting to know that is actually the person creating the food, who's sourcing the food, creating whatever it is they're doing. It's a small team of real artisans. The word is, it's true in the sense that they're a total expert in their field. Just like Claire is a perfect example.
Good transition. So Claire, you are one of the producers that's featured on Many Kitchens, and I know you produce, I've had some of your amazing honey products, but give us a little background on you, how you got from, I guess, publishing, as both of you have, to working with bees and developing these honey products, and tell us a little bit about Catskill Provisions.
Sure. So just like Valentina, the 15-year career in publishing was just not satisfying enough, I guess, when food was really a major passion. I was raised in Europe, mom from Spain, dad from France. So, you know, there was a little glass of wine always at the table, I must admit, even with a little water. But still, there was something red in a glass always, you know. So great appreciation for growing things. You know, honey was always part of every breakfast, on every toast and that sort of thing, you know. So we fast forward and basically 10 years ago, I'm given a kit for beekeeping. And I had talked to a friend about it. And anyway, so I get the kit and I become completely enamored with it, totally taken by it. And it took me through, you know, a tough period in publishing, a lot of growth, a lot of, you know, evolving, obviously, of media. And it was sort of my zen. You know, I would put on the bee suit and just go in the hive and think of nothing else. So it was really very therapeutic. And we were producing this amazing honey. these really amazing honeys. So I would give it to friends, you know, for years, for like 8-9 years. Would give it to them on holidays and stuff, and then they would all rave about it. And I, okay, so I came out, I basically designed the label through CrowdSpring, which I definitely recommend to anyone. You know, starting out, you don't have thousands of dollars to, you know, hire someone. So, you know, I did the label for the one jar, and then I had a spring, summer, fall honey, all raw, wildflower, really staying true to the fact that wildflower honey is truly what you can get in the north and northern Catskills. And from that, it's grown into so much more. But my major, you know, a major catalyst for me was the fact that I wanted to do something that was satisfying every day and that would give back somewhat, where everyone that gets involved with my company gets something out of it. And there's a give and take, you know, and I find that with Heritage Radio, too. There's a collaboration. There's a major collaboration with Valentino. And I mean, we get together for lunch occasionally and we just like, blah, 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 blah. There's 1,000 ideas and they're all for the good of both, for the good of everyone involved, you know? And I think, you know, that was sort of the vision then, 3 years ago when I started the company. We're just about to be 3 years old.
Congrats.
Thank you. And it's been, you know, and every day we grow, every week we do a little bit more and we learn. But the collaboration is really what I see Valentina bringing
Claire
as well.
Claire had a great quote from Claire this morning. We were chatting on the phone about some other things, and she said, "Our competition is so last century." I thought that was just such
really
a great
it's
quote.
It's so 1999. Like, enough already. You know, my brand, it's all secret. It's, all, it's so much better to join hands, open up. You know, we're collaborating on many products, having conversations at the moment, and you'll see some really exciting stuff coming out in the next couple of months.
But. Well, I'm really interested in how that collaboration looks like today for you, as well as with, you know, Valentina, with your other producers as well. But let's talk a little bit about how that became to be, because you're right. I mean, there are other people who make honey, and there are other people who make some, you know, really beautiful food products, and that there is this kind of sense of my brand and my secrecy and my sources and, you know, those cheap bottles that I found that I won't tell anyone about. How do you kind of get past that that hesitancy to share without the fear of, you know, competition?
I really haven't come across any hesitancy. What's been incredible is the producers that we work with are all at different stages of their business. They could literally just be starting out, as Claire did 3 years ago, with their first jar of jam, or they could, you know, now be all through Whole Foods across the country. And we're working with people at all different stages. But what that means is we've got a community with enormous wealth of knowledge and experience. And I've found everyone's been really happy to share their knowledge with someone who's just starting out. It's a really generous community of people who are happy to share, and we want to really leverage that not just that wealth of knowledge, but try to bring down everyone's overheads by sharing, you know, buying in bulk, as you mentioned before.
Yeah. Right. Well, so Valentina, you know, you I like that you call it a community. It's not a number of people who make food that you then, you know, work with. But so tell us a little bit, like, how do you facilitate a community like that? When you're looking at a variety of, you know, artisanal food producers, are there people you aren't interested in having in your community? How do you talk about expectations? You know, how do you make sure that it is a community and not just a group?
Well, everything is very highly curated, so clearly there's a very high standard of anyone who joins Mini Kitchens has to be the best of the best. But there is that too. It's not for everyone. We're launching this project with Claire, the Mini Kitchens Cooperative, where there are certain services that people, I want the producers to spend their time doing what they do best and to let us help. We're learning so much. What I've learned in the last year, it's just an incredible amount. And we're becoming experts in whether it's social media or pitching to publicity or Google AdWords. We're able to resource from across all parts of media and being able to help these producers in whichever area it is they need. And that could be just Google AdWords, and it could be some help on the design side. Everybody needs something different, but I think everybody needs some help, unless, you know, you're a mass producer and then you're not going to be on Mini Kitchens anyway.
Right. Well, so Claire, maybe you can give us an example or two of how this has applied to your business, either in terms of insider knowledge that you've helped others with or resources that either Many Kitchens or one of the other producers has helped your business with?
Well, you know, the biggest thing, I think, is when you start a business, you know, you, like Valentina says, you know, you're sort of an expert at that thing, that one thing. There's so many aspects to it. Every single day you're learning something else. There's, you know, when you get comfortable with some social media, there's more, and you want to be a part of all of it and all that. And so you can't really be an expert at everything. And then, of course, you want to save money at any possible corner because you know you're going to need it. You know you are. It's just going to happen. You know? So it's one of the wonderful things is for us to be able to share discounts. For example, let's say UPS, something as menial as shipping is very much a part of our business, being online. And so we do ship a whole lot. And one of the things that, you know, Valentina has brought to the table to me is to be able to have Many Kitchens be the shipper so that the discount for UPS goes to, you know, to one account instead of, you know, having 20 producers with their little discounts. You put it together and now you're really seriously cutting your costs in half. You know, if I buy 10,000 jars, there is one producer that is on Many Kitchens as well that uses the same jar. So it's one of the things that we might possibly talk about, you know. And so I think in our, you know, in the table as we're sort of thinking of different ways of doing things, if I buy 10,000 jars, it would be wonderful to say, I don't have to store them for a year. I could now take 5,000 off because it's, you know, it's quite a layout of money. And, of course, it's not only the jars, but it's the everything else. So, you know, it's in the sharing. Again, that collaboration can really seriously bring a whole lot. I think one of the things that Many Kitchens does is that they don't have competing products. So it's, you know, so it's wonderful. We could all sit at the table and compare notes and work together and things like that. But, I mean, my goal is to hopefully get to a point where there is contact, direct contact with other producers, where we could get out of Valentina's hair and let, you know, her team do the good stuff, you know. But if honey is used in a marmalade, why not have a collaborative sort of product, possibly, or something like that?
Yeah, we know? All, I mean, I think we all, you all, as producers, face similar challenges.
Yeah.
And I love us all to get together and have these quarterly meetups where everyone can just share their ideas and the challenges and just have almost like an AA meeting where everyone's going through the same problem. Yeah. One day at a time, we'll get through it. So that everyone can share both the good stuff and the bad stuff.
Totally, and have other people talk to me about what I'm doing wrong. I mean, do I do something wrong? I just had trouble saying that. But seriously, though, it's like, it would be wonderful to have someone, to have the trust, the anonymity of saying, you know, let's open up your books and really critique how you're doing that, and perhaps sourcing it differently might be better, or... You know, and I would do the same. You know, so it could be, this is really the beginning of something really exciting and fun. But I think we're all going to get better at what we do because of it.
And bringing down, just on a very simple level, as we said, the shipping, that's something that we can then pass on to the customers. And
right.
I think that's where it's very hard to compete with large national companies who shall not be named, who right. ship for free. It's very hard. But if we can all get together and help bring down, everyone benefits. All of the producers benefit and the customers benefit. And I think they'd love to support us wherever they can. But if shipping is too expensive, buying directly from Claire her honey or, you know, pies directly from someone else, if they can go to one place, get a cheaper shipping rate and still pay the same for the item, I think we'll be able to get a much larger audience.
Yeah, and I also think that will bring our products to a bigger audience and outside of the very boutique, you know, only certain people could afford this product arena, you know, which is something that I definitely work very hard at doing, is making it available for everyone, you know, to be able to have, you know, a mom definitely choose my ketchup because it's healthy, it's great, and,
it's delicious.
You know, whatever it is, you know what I mean? But it's good. She doesn't mind her kid, like, just shoveling it in their mouth. And she could afford it, you know, so it's...
And that means, you know, it can be as little as bringing down the cost of a jar by a few cents. If you do that across every part of your overhead, it's quite dramatic, the change.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting to start kind of thinking about the role of Many Kitchens as sort of this, you know, facilitator and liaison in terms of, you know, knowledge and resource and financial sharing, but also kind of a support network. And I think that's really interesting. I mean, a lot of the you know, here at the Heritage Radio Network, we work with, we talk to a lot of small batch producers and, you know, small scale, either or new or small by choice food companies. And often one of the things we hear is that they may not come from a food background. They may come from publishing. They may be a lawyer. They, you know, their backgrounds may not be in food. And a lot of times they're doing everything for the first time. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really interesting, the idea that it's also, you know, this therapy session, this kind of support group that you have here. I think that's very, I would imagine, very helpful and
yeah, you very definitely meaningful. Feel like you're not alone in you know, the response to demand that you've created. You create this company and now there's demand and you just have to fulfill. You have to do it right. You have to have continuity and be consistent with your product and your delivery times and all these things. And no one can really know what's happening behind, you know, door number one and number two. You're right. Like freaking out. But it's, you know, it's really neat to see that, you know, and to just grow like that every day. But to be able to share it is really wonderful, because you're like, oh my God, you were as crazy as I was. Like, you know.
It is, because I'm a couple of years behind Claire, so I'm being told exactly what's going to happen to my psyche and my sleep.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think we're going to take a very quick break. And when we come back, we're going to dig a little bit more into kind of the details and the logistics of what are some of the challenges you faced as you're growing. And, you know, what does some of this collaboration look like on the ground? So you've been listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, and we will be right back.
You are listening to Rain by the California Honey Drops on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org today.
Welcome back to the Heritage Radio Network. I am Leah Eden, and if you're just tuning in, we are having a lovely and fascinating chat about issues of distribution and size and scale and sourcing for small food businesses with Valentina Rice, the founder of Many Kitchens, as well as Claire Martin, founder of Catskill Provision. So welcome back, everyone. And before the break, we were talking about some of those kind of common challenges that a lot of either new or smaller food businesses might face as they grow, as they make improvements. And Claire, I wanted to talk a little bit about your personal experience. You know, you talked about being around for about 3 years. I think you just hit your anniversary. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about some of the steps that you've taken over the years to grow as a business, and where do you hit barriers? Where do you hit challenges? And how do you kind of find those? How do you get past those?
Wow, it's that's a big topic. That's there's a lot that goes to
it. We like to ask the hard questions.
Yeah, totally. But you know, they've the challenges evolve into deeper ones, I want to say, or they get a little more complicated as you grow. Like in the beginning, the first year and a half, it was forecasting. You know, forecasting is extremely difficult, because you don't really know. You know, you're growing accounts pretty quickly, but maybe not. Maybe you don't really know what January is like or July, because you don't have a history. So, you know, your issues are really, really basic. You know, how many jars am I going to need? How much money am I going to have in the bank? How much should I save? after April and May for July and August because they're really slow, you know. So when do I plan a vacation? You know, I mean, things like that, which, of course, I didn't have one for the first 2 years. You know, now I think the biggest thing for me is space. It's logistics. You know, I just, you know, I have a small space in the West 20s in New York City because, you know, marketing, sales, deliveries, a lot of it is in New York. One of the things about the company is that I didn't want to be competitive to the local people in Delaware and Sullivan County and all that. I was completely adamant about that. I don't want to compete with the people that are producing maple and honey and all that there. So I really put the focus on the New York market in this area. And it's also, of course, more concentrated and all that. But I just thought it was sort of easier for me to do that and stay true to the fact that I wanted to help the economy upstate, you know. But for me, with the small space here, I really have to take frequent trips upstate to get more stuff because I have about 300 square feet where, you know, I'm up to the ceiling and everything and all kinds of things. Some of the packing gets done in New York. So yesterday, for example, emergency, I had, you know, the UN is in, you know, doing their thing. And of course, there's a couple of hotels that we supply and they were like, oh my God, triple order, you know, and I'm like, oh my God. So I have to like run up there, get more stuff, you know, there I am, buckets of honey and jars and, you know, it's just kind of nuts. But, you know, so I think it would be wonderful to join forces with a few producers and say, you know, let's share some sort of warehouse here or something like that, or have, you know, some of the stuff that I have there. I could expand there if I have, you know, people that might want to share, you know, in a new building there or something like that, because I do have 32 acres. So it's, you know, the space is there. So I think, you know, those are the issues at the moment. I have found really good sources for labels and you know, products and boxes and all those things. So I think, you know, we're good there. So I think I can share some of that knowledge with newer producers. But where I'm, you know, now it's I'm going through another sort of growing pain. Every year I seem to sort of go through a moment of, you know, I have to sort of increase space or something. I mean, I did start it out of my apartment. So, you know, it's I have grown a little bit, and it's that's difficult.
And that's what I've said before. Each stage comes with its new challenges, and there are so many things that I'm glad I made a mistake doing because I've learned from them, and I'm really glad we didn't grow as fast as, of course, my impatience wanted us to grow.
Oh God, yeah,
because I would not have been ready at all to have grown that way. But there are little things like where to source the best labels that everyone shouldn't have to find out by error. I mean, that should just be shared for everyone because why make a mistake on spending too much money on labels? But so there are things I think you need to get wrong to learn from, and there are other things we can just help everyone bypass that whole stress.
Well, so let's talk a little bit, like, you know, on a day-to-day basis, how does some of that sharing take place? So, you know, you found a great process, a great place to source your labels or your jars or whatever it might be. You know that you've got, you know, 30 or so other producers. What does that sharing look like? Is that you sending an email? Is that face-to-face meetings? Is that kind of, talk us through the kind of logistics of how you communicate with each other.
It's still evolving as an idea, but the idea of the cooperative would be, I mean, there's definitely email blasts for just things that we've found out from each other, and phone calls. I'm in pretty close contact with most of our producers on a, you know, weekly basis, definitely. So there's that, but I definitely envisage us all sitting down in one room a few times a year and just letting it all out there and having and just really really sharing.
Right.
Being English is not natural.
But you push yourself. I can see that. And then how does that work? Because I noticed on the website, you know, not everyone is in the New York State area. You know, you've got producers from various places. So talk a little bit about some of the differences that you may see among the producers from different places, either in terms of you know, what they're looking for, or the market. How does that work for you?
Well, we really don't want to be just a New York based. I mean, clearly it was easier for us to find because we're right here, and so we're constantly tasting things and seeing things and being recommended things. But going up to Cape Cod a lot, I'd always taste this beach plum jam, and I've never seen it anywhere outside Cape Cod, and it's the same, I imagine, across the country. There are these little pockets of incredible things that I'm never going to find, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life foraging to find them. But so we really want to not only bring a national audience to smaller producers who are just even selling at their local farmers market, but vice versa, try and bring these local audiences like New York, this huge country full of amazing products that we don't even know about. So I think in terms of getting us all together physically might not always be possible, but the way that technology has changed, you practically be in the same room with Skype or whatever it is that we use in terms of conferences.
I could totally see that. A few laptops, faces, in the and then everybody just spending the day sort of doing that, though. But I mean, that's seriously a major... There's major need for that, to be able to be in a room with people that are going through what you're going through and different levels of knowledge, and be able to, you know, have a secret little group that just goes, God, I made this huge mistake. This is, you know, let's talk about mistakes for the first hour of our meeting.
And just imagine the snacks we'd all get.
Oh, my God.
I want to go to that meeting. I'm coming. Well, so we are just about out of time, but, you know, one of the things that I keep thinking about, and I don't think we've really touched on yet, is that this is a website, everyone. This is an online company, and I'm wondering, Valentina, if you and the Many Kitchens team ever at any point thought about having a brick and mortar shop where, you know, I've seen these before, and you've brought together beautiful artisanal foods in one brick and mortar spot. Talk to me about.
That's a dream. I mean, it started on a virtual online space, but the dream would be to have, I want to go in and taste things and touch things and have our producers actually meet them. And we're trying to recreate the experience you get online of actually meeting your producers, with having photographs of them and their biographies and the stories behind them. But there's nothing quite like meeting the person or tasting it. So I'd love to have a brick and mortar store. It's stage phase 2, 3, 4.
Well, it's exciting to see the vision that you have, and I will come to your brick and mortar store whenever it does open. Well, Valentina and Claire, thank you so much for coming in this afternoon and chatting with us about some of these tasty but also, I think, really important issues as we see this boom of small food producers. And I think what you're doing is a really interesting way to develop a community that isn't about everyone figuring it out on their own over and over and over again. So thank you both so very much. And before we leave, Valentina, tell us where we can find Claire's lovely products, as well as your website and your other food producers as well.
You can find all of Claire's delicious products, and I must say, her chocolate truffles are something to be. You have to be to taste them to believe them.
Valentine's Day is not that far away, everyone.
And the holidays are coming up, but they really are spectacular. All of our products are amazing producers. We're on manykitchens.com. That's many, not mini, as everyone thinks I say. And with the holidays coming up, there really is something for everyone. I think everything is delicious. Everything's been tasted by us, and it's worth a visit.
Great. Well, everyone get out there and take a visit. I'm Leah Eden for heritageradionetwork.org. You can find more of our programming and all of our live 30 weekly shows at heritageradionetwork.org. You can also download our shows at iTunes or Stitchers. And if you like what you hear, you can support us by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on that donate tab to become a member today. Thanks so much for listening, and keep coming back. Why can't you see what Miss
Louise, this could never be? Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.